This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, and this is the final match day or pre-match podcast of the season, of our second Premier League season, and we're delighted to say we're going to be having some more Premier League podcasts because Brentford are going to be in the Premier League for a third season, and we've got Man City coming up on Sunday, final game of the season, and we're going to be talking all sorts of football because, to be honest with you, there's loads to talk about. I'm Billy Grant and I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my man Laney. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Really, really looking forward to the game on Sunday. Not necessarily because it's the end of the season. It's been a long, long old season. We'll talk about that. But yeah, just to see, it's just a brilliant way to end it, seeing the champions come to our place and give them a bit of a clap and show some manners and then hopefully do the double, mate. That's what we want.
That's right. Manners, double, football, sunshine, it should be. Look at that, is it like that? In the pub beforehand, 4:30 kickoff as well. I believe that's the case, which means that it's going to be a nice long day for some. So yeah, looking forward to it. So, but this week, Laney, I mean, you know, there's been a few things happening. I mean, the club have, interestingly, they've gone early, haven't they? They've tucked right in early before the end of season. Normally, if you remember, old school massive in the house, there used to be always like the final game of the season, which would have been on Sunday. And then on the following day, which would have been the bank holiday Monday, they would have had the big red ball, which we used to have, like, you know, which basically was the players' ball. And the fans used to be invited. They used to buy tickets to it and they used to go to the players' ball. So you had the fans and the players all mixing and they used to get all the awards that used to go out. And it used to be a bit of a laugh. And I know I'm venturing back into the past again, but they called it early because they didn't even wait until the end of the season this time. They've actually had their end of season awards before the final game of the season. Which probably means that they're all going to be disappeared by Sunday night and they're going to be off. And there are a few awards handed out, weren't there, Laney?
You're right, actually. I think you're spot on. I think it's a sign that the players are going to be like off ski. As soon as the final whistle goes, they do their interviews, they'll wave each other goodbye and then they'll be on the beach by Monday morning, I would have thought. So, the awards were handed out and it was good to see that they were sort of distributed pretty well. You know, Ben Mee was given the Supporters Player of the Year, which was, I don't think it's necessarily a surprise. I think it was probably a close thing between him and Ivan Toney. And then the Players Player was Ivan Toney, and the goal of the season, which this is the one where they've probably gone a little early, was Brian and Bumo's against Man United, the fourth goal, which was an incredible build-up. It was that counter-attack, but there was one, if not both, of the Tottenham goals from last weekend. They were up there with it, I think, in terms of build-up and his finish. But yeah, you know, it was still a great goal, and we'll talk about our own decisions and the besotted awards we'll be doing next week. So keep an eye out for that.
Definitely keep an eye out. I mean, like I said to you, the besotted global player of the week actually went to Ben Mee. And Ben Mee, who's been right up in there actually in the thick now. I mean, who's going to win the overall player of the season is a big big question. We'll find out next week. We have big plans to go to the pub, to the Globe, with a whole rabble of characters, actually. Like I said to you, we go down to the pub a lot less often, which is probably good for our health, but probably not good for the vibe of the pod. But we're going to go back there on this week, and we're going to be going through the season, our highs and our lows of the season, what fun we had, what fun we didn't have, what goals that we loved, what games we loved, what team, what away games were great and what games were rubbish, you know, any funny parts of the moment. We were going all the, through those things at some stage next week, bringing that to you on a podcast to you very, very soon. So looking forward to that. And on top of that, like I said to you, we'll be giving you our besotted global player of the season. It's been totted up, so it's not one of these ones which you vote for at the last minute and you remember who played well last match and you vote for that person. This one has been voted from match one, so every single match has been voted, and also you give your first, the second and the third, and there's some sort of kind of algorithm in there as well. It's like a Benham style algorithm which actually kind of works out exactly how popular each player was in each game, and so it's a really properly weighted and a properly kind of marked one, which was done by the Tasmanian Bee out there in Tasmania, who's been doing these every single week. And Dave Genford, really appreciate his work on this. It's been absolutely fantastic. So you're very excited about this, aren't you, lady?
Yeah, I am. So they're always the best ones. Like the end of season, when you can look back, especially when it's been a season like this one. So yeah, I mean, in fact, to be honest, we haven't had a bad one, have we? Really, you know, we've always been up there, challenging for promotion or top half of the table. You know, there's obviously been a couple of sort of ones that ended in sort of playoff defeat, but we were in lockdown for one of them. So it's been a long time since we've kind of slunk back to the pub with our tails slightly between our legs to look back at the season. So there's loads to talk about, loads of fun. We'll have a right laugh. So yeah, if you can't join us for that, it's certainly something you want to listen to. So yeah,
come and join us over here.
Yeah, exactly that, mate. Exactly
that's right. So on the news front, obviously during the close season, we're actually going to try and bring, normally we go into hibernation in the close season, but what we might do is we might try and bring you a few little different things. Myself and Nainey have been talking about a few different ideas that we could throw into the pot, and also we're going to try and get other people involved. You know, we'll talk of things which are not necessarily, obviously they're not match day related because there are no matches, but we've got, there's plenty of things to talk about, plenty of things back in the past, plenty of historic things, plenty of things, you know, news things that we talk about. So we're going to see if we can actually get a few podcasts going for you over the summer period, which will keep you in tune but also just keep you just talking and listening about Brentford stuff, which could be quite interesting as well, isn't it, Lane?
100%. And we've got the American tour to look forward to, so there'll be some build-up stuff to that, and we'll be bringing you content, you know, when we're in the States. We're going to have a besotted event. All that will be announced soon. We're just kind of confirming things with the venue. The fans that are travelling out to the matches, there should be an event probably in Atlanta for us all to meet up. We'll do something recorded there. We've got, you know, irons in fires. We're just waiting for the final details to be announced. So yeah, you're right, there's lots of content coming your way. Show, we should be, you know, we might have a week or maybe 2 weeks where there's less, but then it should be back to a weekly podcast. So yeah, we're going to try and do something most weeks during the summer. That shouldn't be difficult, mate. We did four last week, so one. We may not be both on it, but
Maybe once a fortnight. Actually, I'm just trying to simmer the expectation here a little bit, like, you know what I'm saying.
Lazy, Bill.
I do like my summers. I have to put my feet up, the sun, and everything like that. I do like it, which is all good. So, like I said to you, we will do what we can. A little bit of early news as well. We've got a little one of our podcasts we're coming up. We're going to do a bit of a goalkeeper cod podcast. Because if things work out the way we expect them to, we believe that David Raya is going to leave and Mark Flecken is going to be coming in from Freiburg. We've already got a little piece lined up on Mark Flecken. We've done a bit of research on him, but we just thought we'll wait till the season's died down a little bit. Let's get this podcast out of the way. Maybe let's just get the end of season podcast out of the way. Then we can throw you some information on our goalkeeper situation. So we're going to be doing that hopefully in the next week or two. So check that out. Bees Breakdown, the Gowler and crew have been very good in actually providing us information. And if you want to check them out as well, they've got wicked little breakdowns of every single match. They just put up the breakdown for the Tottenham game as well, you know, as how Brentford managed to turn that game around in the second half. So check out Bees Breakdown's little piece on the besotted.com website. You get very, very excited about Bees Breakdown's tactical breakdowns, don't you, Lainey?
I think he's done brilliantly to do that every week, it really is a bit of work he has to do to go through it, get the screen grabs, and you know, mark up the pivotal bits of the match where things changed. I thank the pair of them for doing what they did during the season. I hope they've got the energy to do it again next year, because it's something I know a lot of Brentford fans like and comment on. So yeah, cheers for doing that. The other cheers that goes out, Bill, cheers, is our old mate Cleve West. He won. He's like a, you know, massive Brentford fan, friend of Besotted, back from the early 90s, and he's a very famous gardener, and he's won multiple Chelsea Flower Show awards and other big horticulture awards, and he got another gold medal this week at the Chelsea Flower Show. That's a second massive victory for Chelsea.
Over Chelsea.
This in the last couple of weeks. So well done, Cleve.
West London is ours, most definitely, Cleve. Well done. Also, want a big shout out to the Westbrook as well, Ian Brestbrook, who is our absolute statistician when it comes to away games or away teams visiting New Griffin Park. He always does his feature every game. You'll check it out for the Man City game here as well on Besotted.com. Drops the day before, maybe 2 days before the match. It's always fantastic. The away fans always comment about it, and it's always got a beer guide in there as well for people who are coming to Brentford. So wicked. Well done, Ian, for that. We appreciate your work. Anyway, enough of the congratulations. It's almost like sounds like an end of season show, this, doesn't it, Lainey?
It's kind of. It's the one game to go, almost end of season, pre close season, very early pre
beginning
summer
season.
Yes,
yeah, that's right.
That's the one.
That's right. Yeah, we do have problems naming our podcast actually during the close season, so we have to sit down there and go to nomenclature classes, I think it is. So do that. Anyway, look, we're going to go away. We're going to go to nomenclature class. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to you about the Spurs match. So, early Saturday morning, Brentford went to Spurs. And we don't normally like early kickoffs because they're normally lacking in atmosphere. The players normally don't wake up on time. We don't normally wake up on time. You normally can't find a drink before the game. There's all sorts of reasons why we don't really like early morning kickoffs. And the Tottenham game, I have to admit, was kind of similar, I thought. I wasn't particularly looking forward to it. Game in North London, so you didn't even have the sort of getting to the station at 6 o'clock in the morning, jumping on a train and having the social element on the train before you got to your morning kickoff, which helps that, you know. Instead, you know, you had to trick yourself across to North London, try and find a booze that is open, and then try and get some vibes. But to be fair, we did find a boozer that was open nice and early. We got in there at 10 o'clock and it was already buzzing. And I was inside there, the club shop, and, you know, Lady was inside there. You know, Jake, even the Tallahassee Bee, the Florida Bee was out there as well. All sorts of characters within there very early. And it was a good start to the day. It was a nice vibe, good weather as well. And it kind of teed things up very nicely, didn't it, Lady?
Yeah, it helped that we found a decent pub that let us in, and there was, you know, there was none of that kind of scratching around, just trying to find somewhere to settle. So we had a couple of beers before the game and wandered up to the karaoke stadium, and got in. And yeah, the game started off as you teed it up, Bill, like previous early morning kickoff games, where it looked like not the players were half asleep, but we the Spurs came at us quite hard, and they were the ones that in previous weeks had been really susceptible to like the early bombardment by the opposition, and they've gone behind in some dramatic style in several of the games building up to this one. So it looks like they knew that unless they tried to impose their style on the game, then there was a good chance that we were going to go at them, as we did in the second half. So to go a goal down inside 10 minutes was kind of like, oh, here we go. And Spurs carried on, to their credit. You know, it was a brilliant goal. Harry Kane, he took it. You know, it was a great work free kick. Curled it right in the top corner. But, they could have added to that. David Raya and and Ben Mee, and that got in some, like, perfectly timed tackles, or blocks. And, you know, to get in at half-time one goal behind was obviously pivotal, because in the second period, you know, we made a change. We took off Frank Onyeka and we brought on Mikael Damsgaard, and that one substitution really just, it flipped the game, Bill. And you know, we were able to, you know, bask in the sunshine and watch our team, you know, not necessarily dismantle Spurs, but you know, it was pretty much one way traffic, and you know, we did so well to flip the script, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm going to go early on the stats on this front as well, but I didn't check it until just now when I looked at it. And on the XG front, you know, Spurs got 2.09, we put 1.36. So they created a lot more high-quality chances than we did. So, and there's an argument to say, because, listen, I mean, that Harry Kane goal was, you know, listen, you just can't say anything about that. I mean, at the time, we were a little disappointed because you think, OK, they knocked the ball back. But then, when, you know, if anything, was the defender too slow in trying to close Harry Kane down? But, you know, that ball came across. But when you look at it again on TV, the way that he literally placed it in the corner of the net, that was one incredible free kick. And then you look at the XG in that, 3%. So basically 3 out of 100 of those that have been measured go in the back of the net. So that's a shot that any other time would have gone into the stands, would have gone wide, could have hit somebody in the arse. And it's one of those ones which was just, it was a wonder goal. You know what I'm saying? It was a brilliantly taken goal, and there's nothing we could do about that. But other than that, Spurs, and if you heard the Spurs fan, you know, we're going to hear from him a little bit later, where he said, you know, we should have taken our chances in the first half. And they had a number of chances in the first half, a number of decent chances as well. You know, that Kane chance was 3%, but then you had Son on 11 minutes and a 35% chance of scoring as well. Danjuma, who actually played very well in the first half, he had a 31% chance of 1 in 3, you know, on 43 minutes of, that normally goes to the back of the net. And also Son, again, 45 plus 1, he had a 10% chance as well. You know, and those were sort of in and around in the box, in effect. So they kind of had opportunities, and I'm thinking, okay, they went 1-0 up, but what happens if that Sun goal had gone in, or that Danjuma goal had gone in? We would have gone into that second half, or come out of that second half on a very, very different train of thought. So to be fair, you know, luck that they didn't go in. We also did very well in sort of kind of keeping them out, and it just kind of just helped to flip the game for us there, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And you know, I think as I said when I, you know, my intro to this was, going in just a goal down was vital. And I think, you know, of all the saves, of all the, you know, blocks, Rico Henry's headed off the line from Danjuma's header, that kind of clinched the, you know, it was going to be 1-0 at the break. unfortunately, you know, Rico's been overlooked for the England squad yet again. You know, I think he deserves a call up. It was interesting to see that, you know, Gareth Southgate's holding the door open for Ivan's return for a possible Euro place. We ought to talk about that a little bit later on as well, because, you know, I think the England manager has said some really positive things about Ivan. But going back to the Tottenham game, the XG. You couldn't argue with that, you know. And but our goals this week were, there was no deflections involved. I loved Brian Mbeumo's all round game. He looked so happy, and he looked to revel in that role of not being understudy to Ivan Toney. He really stood up, and you know, he seized his opportunity on a stage. You know, I can't believe that no one talks about him as a huge signing. I'm glad they don't, because, you know, I want him to stay with us. You know, all the knockers saying he only can hit the post and what have you, and it just proves that these things go in cycles. You know, there's a lot of luck involved, and you know, he's just concentrated on his game, and he's getting stronger and better and maturing. And you know, not only to score two goals, beautiful, well taken goals into the bottom left corner of the goal, or bottom right as we were looking at it, and then to tee up Wiesa for the third, going into, you know, towards injury time, huge amount, 9 minutes of injury time. You know, we had to have 2-goal lead, because, you know, Spurs came at us, and Raya pulled out another couple of absolutely brilliant saves there. So yeah, it would have been proper nail biting if we hadn't had that 2-goal cushion. So yeah, but what a day out, and what a post match celebration we had.
What a post-match celebration. We're going to come back to after. We're going to come and talk about that after, actually, we go to the fans, because I think we need to get the fans now to hear what they had to say about Brentford playing Tottenham and beating Tottenham in their own backyard immediately after the game, on the terraces and also in the bars, with a guitar, as you can hear, straight after the game.
I said last night when the B team won, we're going to win 3-1 today. And we did it. We smashed them in the second half. We put them so much under pressure. Unbelievable performance at the second half. Brilliant. Absolutely amazing for all the players. Come on, you Red!
That's the best second half of the season. Brilliant.
Fantastic end of the season away from home. Another team chalked off that we've now beaten in the Premier League. And double Manchester City next week, and that'll do it.
I never thought I'd come to a stadium like this and see Brentford win, you know, little old Brentford. And we've fucking done it. And the first half I thought we might snatch a draw. But watching the second half, we're all over them.
We've battered
all
them,
over them.
Them.
Much better than
that's up there. That Rex is one of the great days again to see the boys away. Second half performance, magnificent. Ivan, he wasn't going to play today anyway. The players stepped up. Brilliant second half.
Well, I have to say, what a performance. Second half performance. We were absolutely brilliant. I've just got to say one thing. Is the dream of Europe on? Ooh. Is the dream of Europe on? Ooh. And can we do the double over Man City? Ooh. Yes, we can. Ooh. After that performance, we can beat anyone.
I think the turning point for us was Damsgaard as the substitute. We played with much more confidence. We played on the front foot. We managed to play on the wing, but also cut inside, which we weren't doing in the second half. Tottenham piped up in injury time. That was it. We dominated that second half. Another scalp.
Should have took the chances in the first half. We had so many, like Son, Kulusevski, and then second half, just you come out a different team, to be fair. I mean, that second half, obviously, you controlled the midfield. I thought our best player first half was Bissouma, and in the second half, you just nullified him. So, yeah, obviously, changed something, and then all the goals, like, you could have scored more, to be fair. Not a great look for us, but then you can say you can't beat an underdog story. And look at Thomas Frank, how long you lot hold on to him. Obviously, he needs to sign Tony down to a new deal, I think.
You're loving this, aren't you?
Oh, this is great, isn't it? We've done the big six. This is the cup. We've completed it, mate.
In the middle of Tottenham, singing Hey Jude, Beavertown Brewery. Doesn't get better than this. Away days, kick football out of football. But what we also did is we put the football into football. So we've had a kick football out of football day with the football. Better. Here we go. Oh, there we go. Ooh.
There you go, fans, straight after the game. And as you can hear, there's a lot of happiness. There's a lot of guitar action, a lot of singing. Bees fans happy. Last away game of the season, and it ended up being quite a good day. I'll tell you what makes it different as well. It's the sunshine. The sunshine, we've been waiting for that to come out for ages, but when the sun comes out, all of a sudden, it just changes everything. And I think that, you know, and this is not being disrespectful, but I think that, you know, the idea of sort of sitting outside that bar that we did after the game, in the freezing cold and the rain, it wouldn't have quite been the same, even though it would probably have been quite a laugh, as it was sitting there in the sunshine with the guitarist coming out playing Hey Jude for all us Beast fans to be singing, serenading the Tottenham fans in the bar with our Hey Jude straight after the match. Good laugh, wasn't it, Laney?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, it was a really, really good crew, really good turnout. Went for a very, very long walk from New White Hart Lane to the Beavertown Brewery, and it was like really weird. We walked over this huge bridge and through this like heathland. It was like going rambling, mate. So and then we got there, and it was just a beer oasis, and had some good pizzas, had a good sing song, and drunk bit of ale, mate. I don't know about you.
Yes, it was. It was one of those late ones. One of those early starts and one of those late ones. Like I said, and it was one of those ones I said on the podcast. We kicked football out of football, but also then we put the football back into the football as well with the 3-1 win. I mean, and just talking about that game, like I said to you, a lot of pride as well from Brentford fans, from Brentford in the way that they played. You know, on the world stage, it was on TV, obviously around the world as well. So people did see us not in the UK, but all around the world saw us live. I mean, they see most of our matches live, but that was almost like the highlight game. And listen, I know what does frustrate me a little bit actually is that every time we beat a team, everyone always tries to highlight the fact that they're not being on their game. Chelsea, or they're not on their game, you know. Man United, oh, they're not on their game. Oh, Liverpool, they're a bit crap this season. Oh, Arsenal, oh, they're rubbish, you know what I'm saying? They always kind of do these things, which I think is disrespectful, because it takes away from us, because at the end of the day, yeah, you might not be on that, your game, but you've still got some good players, you know, you still can play some good football, and actually you've got to also look at the way that maybe the opposition have nullified and stopped you from doing what you do. Because if you've got these good players in your side, and you've got, you know, they're on big money, you know what I'm saying? Absolute huge money, these players, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can't turn around to us and say, oh, well, it's, you know, we're not very good, so you should beat us. It doesn't really work like that. So for me, I hate when the gloss is taken away. And I like the fact that, you know, there's certain commentators are out there who realise, actually, give them a bit of credit. So some of the Match of the Day commentators says, you know, a brilliant Brentford. I thought, OK, that's nice. That's really nice. I know a lot of opposition fans probably get really upset because they think that everyone is kind of glowing over the bees too much. And they probably can't wait till we have a sticky patch because they don't like it. But the fact is that, you know, we've had for years where people just disrespecting us and just ignoring us. So it's nice that they give us a credit. So for me, I thought we, in that second half, not in the first half, because even you and me turned around, Laney, and we said, oh, you know, you said, oh, this is missing an Ivan Toney hole in this team. It's got an Ivan Toney slot missing in it. And this isn't quite good enough. We're not quite there. You could see it in the second half, in the first half, you know. I'm not digging any players out, but Frank the Tank, who I very much like, in this game, he just seemed to be a bit off the pace. You know, that free kick that he gave away was an unnecessary lunge, and he just didn't need to do that. And then he had another opportunity where I think he missed the ball, or he was just too slow, and luckily Tottenham didn't score from it. But, you know, but it was just passes going amiss, you know, because he was off the pace. I think a lot of other players around him are off the pace, and it wasn't good. You know, it wasn't good enough at all in that first half. But to be fair to Thomas Frank, where I remember back in the day, we used to say how Thomas Frank maybe didn't make changes quick enough. He was a bit stubborn. He was quite stuck in his ways. He's obviously learned, and he just turned around and said, "Mate, this is not happening." And he, like I said to you, he got the big hook out, like, you know, Frank the Tank. He got the Frank the Tank hook out, hooked him, and he put in, you know, and he replaced him, you know what I'm saying? And the replacement was just the difference was just incredible. Like, you know, so fair play to him. Second half, I thought we were brilliant, and you can't really say any better than that.
No, I completely and utterly agree with what you said about it's not because other teams are rubbish that whenever we win, you know, we've won 14 games this season. It's that those games haven't happened just because the opposition have been below par on that day. We're sat ninth in the table, possibly could end seventh if final day results all go our way. So that's not fluke. That's quality, you know. And but once in a blue moon, you do need a little bit of luck, and you do need teams, the top four teams, to be slightly below par because they've got that much quality. You know, you can't, you know, to compete and get results, which we have done. But we went to the Etihad, and, you know, Man City, they had a full strength team, and, you know, we did a proper job on them. And the same with all of them. You know, we've taken 4 points off of Brighton, who everyone's raving about, rightly so. You know, we've taken 4 points off of Tottenham, and yeah, they've had a poor season by their standards, because they should be in the top four, but they're eighth. You know, we could finish above them, and I think, you know, the talk of European football is a potential, is still possible, but I think I'd be really happy to finish just below Arsenal as the top, you know, the second top London club. I think, you know, you don't win a prize for it, but I think it's massively significant for us.
Yeah. 100%. Interestingly, I mean, you were talking about the game as well, and we were talking about Brian and Mbeumo. We were talking about the goals of the season, where he got the Man United goal, was voted the goal of the season for Mbeumo, but obviously the votes were cut off before this game. Listen, Mbeumo had a brilliant game, but also if you look at them goals that he scored, you know what I'm saying? I think the second goal that he scored, just after half time, I think less than less than five in a hundred of those normally go in the back of the net. So that was, again, you know, you talk about Harry Kane, 3%, that was a 5% chance as well. You know, the way that the move of that ball, how he moved it across, and then the way that he took that was just unbelievable. And again, these are the things that you can celebrate. And I know that you're sort of saying people are laughing because, you know, normally he hits the post, you know, more times than he hits the back of the net. What a number of people have been saying to us, even people that work within the club, you know, directors of football, have said, Brian Mbeumo, don't forget, he's actually quite a young player still. He's not that old, you know what I'm saying? If he was 28 and 29 and 30, you think, okay, fair enough, but he's quite a young player. So to play like he is at his age, trust me, you know, give him another 1 or 2 years, he's going to be properly on fire. And like you said to him, he's the type of player that we would, you know, would love to hold on to. Because what we've done is that we've taken him through them formative years of him, where he's like the BMW, where he's learning his game. And the last thing you want to do is kind of just lose him when he's becoming into that time when he's actually going to really start delivering. So for me, you know, Brian and Mbeumo next season, and even possibly the season afterwards, are going to be like kind of big seasons, I think, for him. Because he's like, he's had some tough times, you know, and he's really learnt his game, but he's looking like he's actually just really maturing to be an excellent Excellent.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Excellent find, again, by our scouting team.
It's been a brilliant season for him, hasn't it? If you think what he's achieved for us at Brentford and the goals he scored and the assists, he's also had a really good World Cup. And you know, I just think whatever he's achieved so far is still just the beginning for him. He's going to get better and better and better. And you know, as I said in my last segment, it's just that I think not having Ivan Toney around will actually help him, because the responsibility, he can't hide. Not saying he does hide, but he knows now that the team are relying on him. He can't expect Ivan Toney to be the one that gets all the goals and he chips in. You know, he needs to be up there contributing even more than he ever has done. We'll see how the formations, you know, how we set up at the beginning of next season, whether, you know, Kevin Sharder's going to be the straight replacement, or we're going to go into the transfer market and buy a landmark a striker, or we're going to muddle through. We'll see. But, you know, we just tied down Ioan Wisa to a longer term contract. And Sharder, I'm assuming that we make the loan permanent, because we've got an option there. I think that's almost been taken for granted that we're going to do that. So, you know, those three is a huge opportunity. So some people think Ivan Toney being missing is going to be a bit of a tragedy, which is not great, let's get me wrong, but it provides other players a bit of a sort of G-up. So yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how it pans out, mate.
Obviously, like I said, Brian Mbeumo, the player that we want to make sure doesn't leave the mighty bees. Also, somebody else that we don't want to leave the mighty bees. I mean, I've kind of like, I'm not even worried. I hear these reports and it just doesn't bother me. Every time I go onto radio, people always ask me, they said, you know, first of all, they used to ridicule us for having manager like Thomas Frank. I remember when we first started off, like, you know, what does he know about the Premier League? And now they're going, oh, you need to keep hold of your manager, you know, or with that kind of form, he's going to walk. Listen, of course we know there's always a danger that any of our staff could go at any time, but you've just got to look at what they've got in front of them. And, you know, you've got to ask whether or not Thomas Frank is going to walk into another club where, to be honest with you, he's not going to have the security that he's got at our place, without necessarily bringing this, you know, be able to bring the success that he can bring, you know, that he could bring them, to jump at a high enough level. I mean, we're going to finish maybe ninth this season or eighth this season. So what are you going to do? Jump to an eighth place team or a seventh or 11th place team, right? To get them to maybe sixth or fifth, you know, and he could probably do that with us. Like, you know what I'm saying? But in the comfort knowing that he's got people who understand him, but also he knows that he's got the machinery, the Brentford machinery, which a lot of people forget. When people leave Brentford, they ain't got the machinery around them, so they have to operate on their own, or maybe one or two individuals, and it doesn't necessarily always work for them, because that machinery is very, very powerful, and it brings a lot of information to the whole setup, you know what I'm saying? And if you've got that machinery removed, you've got to kind of do that work yourself. And I think Thomas knows that, and he's clever enough to know that, and clever enough to know that he's got a nice little bedroom, a nice little living room, you know, that he could sit in there and put his feet up, you know, slippers, and get the pipe out and just chill out, you know what I'm saying? And if he goes to the Tottenham living room, it might be a little bit colder, and he might have to actually kind of get the spade out, and he might have to start stoking the fire a little bit as well, and he might have to go outside and chop the wood from the trees as well, and just come in. And it doesn't really work because the house they've given him is actually cheap, and it's kind of falling about bit. So you can see my analogy there. You like the analogy, Laney?
It's interesting. It's an interesting one. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thomas Frank House.
His house is bigger than yours. Yes.
That's right. But bigger than the garden shed anyway. Yeah.
100%, 100%, mate. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Thomas Frank. You know, he talks about what he's got at Brentford a fair amount. He talks about being at Brentford in, you know, in my book, The Brentford Revolution, which if you haven't bought yet, you ought to. And he talks about being surrounded by happiness and love. And it might sound a little bit cliche, or it might sound a little bit, I don't know what, it might sound a little bit kind of non-football to talk that way, but these things matter, you know. He's seen what's happened to Graham Potter at Chelsea, and, you know, that job, he would have done it all right there, given the time, but the job almost destroyed him, you know. And I don't think Thomas is going to put himself through that if he can avoid it. And, you know, he's going to always, if our success continues, Thomas Frank is always going to get linked by clubs that have shown a little bit more intelligence, you know. They're not just going to go for, you know, the predictable conveyor belts. They're not going to go for Sam Allardyce, you know. They're not going to just see look on a spreadsheet and see who's doing okay in Europe for a season, and, you know, Arnie Slot, for example, and, you know, try and go and grab him for another 3 or 4 months. Thomas is, you know, stock and his star is continued to rise, and, you know, he's gonna spend the summer relaxing, I hope, and coming back full of energy to do this all over again. And at some stage, I'm sure he will be tempted away, but I don't get any inkling, or I'm not afraid, or I'm not concerned that's imminent, Bill. I don't know about you. I just think we'll know when that's gonna happen. I mean, I might be wrong. Tottenham may come in for him, and it might be an offer he just can't refuse. But I can't see that happening.
What do we know? You know, at the end of the day, you can't predict. You know, somebody might come in and offer him £10 billion to manage some team, and he might decide that it's actually a great thing, Champions League, and could take him to another level. But, you know, that's ifs and buts and maybes. At the moment now, like I said to you, we're very lucky to have him. He loves Brentford. We know that he loves Brentford. And we just move forward as we do. And any final thoughts on that Tottenham game, Laney? Like I said to you, I'll tell you actually what I did think was funny. I mean, we're talking about Thomas Frank, and obviously the Tottenham are talking about the fact that they think that Thomas Frank might go there. The shot... who's the Dutch manager who manages Feyenoord? They're the one that they thought they had tied up, but then the rumour is that they won't pay Feyenoord the breakaway fee, the compensation fee. So that looks like that's going to be falling down on its head, which is that's one of those things that happen. Obviously, you know, Brentford will have a compensation fee. Maybe the feeling is that Brentford will be a little bit less tight. more lax in allowing Tottenham not to pay that compensation fee. Maybe that's what the thinking is over there. But obviously, with that scenario, like I said to you, Lainey, you know, Thomas Frank going to Tottenham, the shot, you know, the reality is they've got a lot of options. I mean, one of the latest options they talk about is taking Celtic's manager as well. Now that's the one that just popped out of the blue.
Yeah, well, he's done an incredible job up there. I'm going to struggle with his name, but yeah, but it's a very long Greek name. I know that. But I think when you're trying to lure a foreign manager from like Eredivisie to the Premier League. The Premier League's the draw, yeah? The Premier League's the prize. Everyone wants to be involved in it. Thomas Frank's already there. I think if we had Thomas Frank and we were in like La Liga and or we were in like the Bundesliga, I think we'd be really concerned that the magnet of the Prem is going to be too strong. We can't fight it. But the fact that Brentford are there and doing so well, it depends if he wants to go to a top six club or top seven club now, or he wants to wait, or whether he's not that bothered by it. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell indeed. I tell you who will tell some time, actually. JB's telling the time, actually. He's got his triangle out. You know what I'm saying? As he's telling the time with some more facts and some more end of season funk. Let's hear what JB's got to say with his facts and his funk.
Hello, Jonathan Burchell here again. During the past 103 years, Brentford have played over 2,000 away league games. And in just over a third of them, we've been losing without scoring at half-time. In 8 out of 10 of those, we go on to lose. But to turn that losing position around in the second half to win, and score 3 goals in the process? Well, that's only happened 13 times before Saturday. The win at Spurs is therefore in the top 1% of those away results. Brian became the first player to score more than one goal in a Premier League game this season, other than Ivan Toney. In fact, Vitali's brace at Chelsea last season was the only other occasion that's happened. Apart from the pandemic-affected season of 3 years ago, which finished on the 22nd of July, and just as in 1966, Sunday's match, on the 28th of May, will be our latest end to a regular league season. Conversely, with only 3 cup games in addition to our 38 league fixtures, this has been the lowest number of games we've played in a league season. A long way short of the record 63 matches we played back in 1988-89. Last season we lost 9 Premier League games at the GTEC and took 42% of the available points from our home fixtures. Irrespective of the result against Manchester City, this season we will take at least 60% of the points. So Brentford's definition of second season syndrome will show that we finished in our fourth highest ever league position, and in the process recorded wins against the League Cup winners, the eventual FA Cup winners, the Premier League champions, and the finalists of both the Europa Conference League and the UEFA Champions League. Roll on third season syndrome.
So there you go, JB. Facts and fun. Let's say something. Let's see if we can get JB down to Boozer this week. I know he likes a bit of a swift half, actually, JB. We can get there down there. Maybe he might have some extra special. We might have a little facts and funk end of season sort of fact and funk section that he might come up with. He might just come up with something that will absolutely blow our minds. So let's see if we can get that into the menu, shall we, lady?
Yes. Yes, it'd be great. And again, thank you to JB as well. While we're thanking people for doing stuff like every week, it's been brilliant. Cheers, buddy.
It has been brilliant, and I actually was going to thank JB actually next week because obviously I thought he was going to be part of the setup next week. So I actually left the thank you, so we can thank him now, and we can thank him again next week. So cheers, yeah, JB, for all the work that you do.
double bubble. That's right.
So anyway, listen. Sunday, Manchester City are coming down. We thought that we'd be able to do Arsenal a favour this weekend and make things exciting for them, make things exciting for Man City, make things exciting for us by affecting the end of the season kind of positionings. But unfortunately, Arsenal completely and utterly fluffed it, and they lost some games. I can't remember, it was a ridiculous game. Bournemouth, I think it was, like I'm saying. And that's it. It's all over. They fluffed it completely. Manchester City are champions. Congratulations to the Man City fans and the Man City team out there. Champions. Be interesting seeing champions come down to the final game of the season at New Griffin Park onto our ground. We've actually been... Cast your mind back to how many times, actually, there have been champions who have been at your ground and celebrated at your ground. Can you think of any? I remember actually last season, Leeds United, they celebrated like they were champions after they beat us, and they avoided relegation, but they were jumping up and down like they'd won the Premier League, weren't they?
Yeah, there was that one. Obviously, yeah, the last kick of the games that have been playoff matches. Not there's been celebrations there. Didn't we have Hereford down one year?
I was about to say Hereford's the one that I really remember. Yeah,
yeah, which was odd seeing them on the pitch and celebrating. But you know, fair play to them at the time. And obviously Reading, I still remember that. But
yeah, they didn't win the league. They just got automatically promoted at the time. So they didn't win.
And
the league.
And Doncaster, obviously, they celebrated winning.
Actually,
the
they won the league. Yeah, they won the league. Yeah, that was. Yes. Yeah, but yeah. We were so gutted. Okay, that was. So that was again last game of the season for people. Just check it out. Go to besotted.com or go to YouTube Besotted. Go Brentford versus Doncaster Besotted, and you'll see the whole video there. Where 1 minute we could have got promoted with the last kick of the game, penalty kick, and then that was missed, and they went up the other end and they scored and they got promoted, and we ended up in the playoffs and losing again. But there was one scenario where we actually played last game of the season and we ended up winning the league. Can you remember?
Peterborough, mate. Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, that was an incredible one. A day of days, as they say.
That's right. 1992, we went to Peterborough and we ended up winning there. I think sort of surprisingly, I think that and the fact that Birmingham City lost on the day to Stockport, I think it was, and they thought that Birmingham were going to win the league and they'd sent the trophy up to Birmingham, and we were just happy to be there. And next minute they lost to Stockport. We beat Peterborough and we won the league out of the blue. And that was that was a blow your mind moment, because that was the first time in my lifetime that we'd actually really done anything properly, and that was just a fantastic moment as well. But there was another moment as well, last game of the season, where we won the league as opposed to the opposition won the league. Do you remember?
No, go on, tell me.
Cambridge away as well.
Cambridge away, of course.
Cambridge
yes.
away, which is absolutely phenomenal. Like basically, it was one of the two teams, 1999 team. We've got quite a few of the players from there listen to this podcast as well. And it was basically, we played Cambridge. I think we were we second and they were first, or we were first and they were second. One of the two. But anyway, whoever won that game, I think we had to win the game to win the league. And I think they had to draw the game to win the league. And we ended up 1-0. Lloyd Owusu scored a goal, dinked it over the goalkeeper, and we went absolutely potty in that game. Winning, and I have to admit, winning a game on somebody else's turf to win a title is the best feeling in the world. And I know Manchester City are going to come down and they're going to celebrate and have a right good laugh. And it's slightly different, but I think going there when you've got we keep talking about it, the jeopardy, where you go in there and you feel one of us two teams is going to win the league. And you're away from home. You're not at home, you're away from home. That, for me, is the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, I mean, they've been up there with the best, and they're the ones that still give us goosebumps or see the hairs on your arms rise up. They're just like, they happen so infrequently. They're something to savour. But I have to do say as well that, you know, I'm sure the Brentford players will give Man City a guard of honour as they come out onto the pitch on Sunday. I've read a couple of places that a couple of fans, not many, but a couple of fans saying, "Oh, I'm going to turn away. I don't want to watch that. I'll walk out if we see Brentford clapping Man City." And I'm like, "What? I personally, I know everyone's entitled to their opinions, but I personally don't get that. I just feel like I'm actually blessed to witness the best team probably in the world come to our place, and they've deservedly won the title. They're just exceptional, and I think if we can't just clap them before the game and just show some respect and some sportsmanship or sportspersonship and just tip our hats to, you know, Pep and those players, that it, you know, they're going to go on probably and win the treble. you know, the FA Cup the following week and the European, the Champions League. I can't see United or Milan and standing in their way for the clean sweep. But you know, I think we stand an actual real good chance of beating them again. They play Man United a week after. I mean, I watched Man City play at Brighton last night, and they got a draw. They looked incredible to start with, but I think once Brighton had started up in their game, and Brighton looked great as well, and I think that they'll think, oh, hold on a minute, I'm not gonna get injured. I'm not gonna risk that tackle. I'm not gonna do this, especially now that, you know, the title's all wrapped up. I think they will rest some players, but what they've got to come in is still exceptional. So, you know, I'm not thinking I'll rest a few because it's going to be easy. It's still going to be a monumental task for us to do the double. But it's what more incentive is there? We beat them brilliantly, fair and square, up at the Etihad before the World Cup, and now in the last game of the season, when we were all dreading this final run of games. You know, when the fixture list came out, we all looked at, you know, May and late April and just thought, oh my God, you know, that's going to be, you know, possibly horrendous. But we've won four out of the last five games, and any talk of us being on the beach after we went down at Wolves, it's well wide of the mark. So yeah, this team never ceased to keep impressing and amazing me, and I honestly think that we can go out and beat Man City. I think the double's on, Bill.
Double is on. I was going to find out if Dave from Blue Moon Man City podcast thinks the double is on. He's going to give us a full lowdown on the Premier League champions, Manchester City.
Hi, Billy. Hi, gang. David here from the Blue Moon podcast. Obviously here to talk about Brentford against City on the final day. I mean, first off, congratulations on what has been another good season. I think Brentford have played some great football, they've had some great results, and we'll get a great finish. And whisper it lightly, but there's a very strong chance, I think, of finishing above Spurs, just simply because of, Spurs have been utterly atrocious this season. There's a good chance that anything could happen on this final day. So obviously, for you to finish above Spurs, you probably need to beat City. And that's just exactly it. I've just no idea what City's going to turn up on the final day. Obviously, there's a few things kind of at play with City at the moment. They've already won the league, so they're in a position where they will make changes to the squad. They've got the FA Cup final against Manchester United, so it's a local derby. You don't want to lose that one. And then they've got the Champions League final the week after that. And obviously, City have never won a Champions League. They've never done particularly well in the Champions League down the years, and that's starting to change. So the hope is that that'll change this season with a win against Inter. But obviously, that means that this final game of the season, there's a lot riding on it for City. You don't want players to get injured, but you also want, you know, key first team players that are available to get a bit of rhythm and momentum and keep the legs going properly. And weirdly, the run that City have had in this final week of the season, I'm speaking to you just after the 1-1 draw against Brighton on Wednesday night. These are two perfect games for that, because it's like pre-season for City in the sense, it's like a difficult pre-season for City in the sense that it really doesn't matter if they win or lose, but what does matter is that the opposition give them a very good game. Now, Brighton gave them a good game at the Amex this evening, and I have absolutely no doubt that Brentford will give them a good game at weekend. And that's kind of what you want. You want that challenge to go into the two games that you really, really need to win, and you need to put in good performances in. And any kind of question that this is a dead rubber is just kind of gone out of the window. Now, Guardiola's team selection against Chelsea last weekend, when Arsenal obviously lost against Nottingham Forest the day before. It meant that City were champions. He just played everybody that was available, and just kind of fitted the formation around it. By the time we got to Brighton in the midweek, the defence was still a bit patchy, but generally it was quite a strong team ahead of that. So I'm expecting pretty much a full strength City side against Brentford at weekend. Just to make sure that again people get time in the legs and they get minutes in the legs, and the rhythm is there more than anything else for the two cup finals to come. And obviously the big elephant in the room is what a test it will be for City. You obviously came to the Etihad and played very well and deserved the 3 points back in November. You actually ruined my birthday, because my birthday was the next day, so thanks for that. But it just goes to show what an important part of the preparations for the final City will see this game as. If there were no finals to come up, you could probably expect a lot of youngsters in this team, and it'd just be a bit of a final day madness from Guardiola. But I don't see it being that in the slightest. Obviously, in the grand scheme of things, there are bigger fish to fry. Whether or not City beat Brentford, it's absolutely not about the result. It's very much about the performance, and in many ways I do hope you have a good game against City, because I hope you make City suffer, as Guardiola says in places. There's the real importance to coming under pressure at times and being able to deal with that pressure, and even in many ways not being able to deal with that pressure. If you go through games and everything kind of runs smoothly, it doesn't really benefit anybody. There's probably no benefit to City going to Brentford on the final day. You guys rotating your team ridiculously, City rotating the team ridiculously, and it finishing 3-0 to one of us, because it doesn't help anybody that. I don't expect you're going to rotate your team. You've got a chance of a really good top half finish this season. I mean, you're guaranteed a top half finish, but there's a chance of being able to really kind of upset the apple cart at the top of the table. And at the same time, like I say, City have got those two finals to prepare. So expecting a very, very strong lineup from both teams, expecting a very, very good game, a very entertaining watch. When it comes to a score prediction, though, it's the final day. Mad things can happen. Should we say 3-3?
So there you go, Dave from Blue Moon Podcast. Good guy, Dave, as well. Big Man City fan. He's been supporting them for years and years and years. So he knows the score. He's seen the ups and he's seen the downs. And they've got a big up this season. Obviously, they've got the league, you know, but also they've won the league and cups. But, you know, obviously the big eye, as you said, lady, is Europe for them. You know, after Saturday's over, is trying to win that elusive Champions League trophy. So she will see. We'll see how they get on with that. Manchester City, looking at them, and there was a lot of fear at the beginning of the season, Laney, when people saw our last sort of months of fixtures, and I think the word was, we better make sure we got some points on the table before the last month, or else we're going to be in all sorts of trouble, you know, with the Tottenham game and the Manchester City game and, you know, all these games that were lined up, you know, for the sort of back end of the season. And I'm not going to say it was enough, because you don't know anything. At the time, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't worried about the back end of the season at all. And the reason why is I thought we did all right last season. And why are we going to fear these teams? You've got no fear of these teams. You just go out and just do what you want to. At the end of the day, people fear Brentford. Like last season, they didn't want to play us. And this season, again, they don't want to play us. You know what I'm saying? So it's good that we're now in that position now where people, like I said to you, start taking this seriously. So I wasn't worried, but I can understand the reason why people had the fear on, because when you look at it on paper, it does look dangerous. But football isn't played on paper. And now, when you look back at it, this last month has been it's been quite marvellous. And as you said, Manchester City, looking at where they're good and they're bad, they're good at finishing, scoring chances, defending set pieces, attacking down the wings, creating chances using through balls and using skill as well. They're very good at shooting from direct free kicks, counter attacks, and attacking set pieces, which is quite a lot of things. And where they're weak, stopping opponents from creating scoring chances. So listen, you know, we've got our work cut out against them, but that means nothing in our book, because, you know, maybe you played this game and you look at that team last season and they would have said, right, we know how to unpick Brentford, we know what we're walking into here. But it's a very different team and a very different setup 12 months later, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is. It's always going to be daunting to play Man City, but with a third, in terms of form, we're in third place in the last five games. There's obviously Man City and Liverpool that haven't lost. They've got, you know, four wins and a draw, the pair of them. And we've got four wins and a defeat, and that was against Liverpool, a 1-0 defeat at their place. So it's all right, you know. We go there. Obviously, we only won those games because the other teams were crap, Bill. I mean, there
of
was
course.
Nothing.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there was nothing about us. You know, we were just lucky that Everyone else is rubbish when we play them. And I hope Man City are rubbish again on Sunday, because that's the only way we can ever win a game.
That's right. It's definitely the only way. They're going to win away. So, Delaney, I'm going to ask you. I'll tell you what as well. Talk about the Man City game as well. We might see if we can get. I'm trying to do it back in the day, but I'm not going to do it again. I do the old keyboard. Remember, you used to do the old keyboard in the Globe last game of the season. You used to have a right good sing song. I think keyboard's gone into retirement, but we might see if we can get a little bit of music in the Globe on Saturday after the game. We'll see. We saw what happened in Liverpool where the old guitarist came out. There was a bit of a sing song. Not saying for definite, but we might see if we could do a little impromptu. Have a little bit of a kind of musical interlude, maybe before, maybe after, or maybe both for the game. Just especially if the weather's out, it could be quite good. That let's just watch this space, shall we?
Yes, as long as I'm not involved in having to take the mic and lead in it, you can arrange whatever you want, mate. but yeah, I'm hopefully the sun's out, and do you want my prediction, mate?
I'm going to discuss what I'm saying. I was going to come to you for prediction, actually. I've got your. I was going to ask you what your karaoke number is going to be first of all. You know what I'm saying? If you've got a karaoke number and a prediction,
Free From Desire, 2-1 Brentford.
There you go. I'm going to go for Message to You, Rudy, or Message to You, Tony. And I'm going to go for, listen, I'm going to have a laugh. I'm going to, listen, because I've got two in a row. I've got the 3-1 last week as well. I've got the 3-1 at Tottenham, and I've got the 2-0 as well before that. So I've got to go for three in a row. So a lot of people can say, oh, if you want three in a row, Bill, you've got to go 2-0 Man City. But nah, mate, I'm going to go 1-0 to the mighty V's to try and see if I can get a hat trick, three in a row to end off the season on a proper, proper roll. So this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. I'm going to say, first of all, buy us a beer, besotted.com/beer. Also, subscribe on all good podcast channels and write us a review. We have our end of season podcast, and we're going to try and get down the Globe and record it this week. So it'll be out before next weekend. Or maybe we might do it
next week.
This next week coming. We're going to do that. So it should be out next weekend, hopefully. Or maybe we might do it over the weekend. We shall see how that goes. But like I said to you, I'm Billy Grant. I've got Laney in the house to be.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too. Like I said to you, check us out. We've got Man City on Sunday. It's going to be a nice long day. We're going to have a right good laugh. We're going to have a pause. We're going to have a talk. As we sigh.
Come on, you bees.
You bees. Let's beat them, City. Let's do it.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.